Welcome to Horse First with Lockie Phillips, a podcast about paying closer attention to the horse, to the work that we do with horses, and paying attention to what's actually happening in front of us. Not what looks good, not what we've been told looks good, because sometimes we slow down and sometimes we speed up, but we don't pretend. I'm Lockie Phillips. Let's begin. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Horse First with Lockie Phillips. Today's episode is a little bit different because I want to tell you a story. Not that I've never told you a story before, but lately I've been focused on sharing with my guests and discussing issues. But I'd like to tell you a story about last weekend. It is currently the end of July 2026. So if you're listening to this in the future, firstly, thank you. Secondly, let's understand this in context. It's the end of July 2026, right in the middle of summer. And as Europe is on fire, unfortunately, I traveled to the UK last weekend for the first time ever to introduce my work with horses to the UK community in person. So I'd like to tell you that story if you'd let me. It's a story about nearly 90 people, about 85 in total, but in the end, it worked out to be 90 people, 10 horses in total, 4 days involving 2 back-to-back introduction clinics. Both of those 2 clinics had totally fresh groups of horses and people. There was no transfer between the 2 clinics except for 1 person and my host, but I'll get to that in a minute. It's a story about 4 question and answer sessions at the end of the clinics that went well over time, based on my expectations, well over an hour. And it's a story about why my hands were shaking before I even began the clinic. And by the end of today's episode, I want to share something that has been building for me and taking shape over the last few years, and something I'm really excited about because I think we are about to get to the point. And the point is Homecoming 4.0, Free and Forward, my next group coaching program. I'm so excited about it because I think this program is going to get to the point like others have never gotten to the point before. And again, if you're listening to this in the future, we are in summer 2026. And if you're listening to this after December 2026, Homecoming 4.0 will have been finished and you can still sign up for it as a self-study program. So this is relevant no matter when or where you're listening to this. But before I get to discussing Homecoming 4 with you and why I think this program is going to get to the point better than almost anything else I've ever created, I want to talk about the clinics. I arrived in the UK to teach my very first clinics there. 2 intro clinics, back to back, 85 people, almost 90, 10 horses, and honestly, I was so nervous. Really nervous, and I don't think people realize that. I had not delivered a clinic for well over a year. I had decided to take a pause on clinics because last time I did clinics, I went on a world tour, and I believe it was good. I think I did good work, though I'm never sure. I did the best I could. But the world tour throughout Australia, New Zealand, and the United States. And I came home and my life fell apart. So I needed some time in my own life where I wasn't traveling. And I put my life back together. So when I came to the UK for my first clinics there, it was a short flight, less than 2 hours, same time zone that I live in. And suddenly I'm there. And now I feel like a totally different person because behind the scenes, my life wasn't falling apart for the first time. Even though I've taught 42 clinics all over the world before I had done the UK clinics. As I began to introduce the clinics, my mouth ran dry, my hands started to shake, my stomach had butterflies, and I lost my words for about a minute at the beginning. And you can watch the recordings of these clinics because I recorded the entire thing. Thank you, Rachel, for helping. And thank you, Naomi, for the photos. And at the top of day one, clinic one, I said, good morning. And then I went for a walk and looked at the horses and found I had no words. And then I took a deep breath and began. And, you know, I think it's important that I share with you that I'm nervous because I don't think it's easy to see on the outside that I was nervous, which is really the seat of my work. The way we behave and the way we feel is often hard to read. I wasn't incongruent. I was in control and command of my nerves, just like a horse who's in control and demand and command of their nerves or their fears, even though they're performing. And if you're only reading behavioral output, it would look like I wasn't nervous. If you're only reading your horse's compliance, it would look like they're not afraid. But what we feel inside and what we do on the outside can often look unexpected. And I think people don't really appreciate that enough. If you've only ever watched my videos, my social media writing, or listened to this podcast and you've never actually booked an online lesson, attended a clinic, you probably think I'm very serious, maybe even stern. Maybe you've decided that I take myself far too seriously. Maybe you think I'm judgmental or authoritative or that I have a terrible sense of humor. And listen, there have been clinics out there where I have been a little stern, a little too serious, and maybe authoritative because behind the scenes, my life was falling apart and yet there I was working in far-flung places, often on my own. And if you ever attended one of those clinics, please forgive me. If you ever had one of those lessons, please forgive me. I've spent the last year rebuilding myself and I'm feeling good. And a lot has changed in a good way. So you might think that if you're looking at me on a surface level, that I'm judgmental, authoritative, or a terrible sense of humor. And the funny thing is, if you actually spend time with me in person, you will know that that is almost completely wrong, that I joke constantly, usually at my own expense. So for example, one of my favorite jokes that often catches people by surprise and I'm about to give myself away and I'll never be able to use it again, I'll be working with people on straightness and I will laugh and say, isn't it funny that I'm teaching anyone to be straight at all? So I joke constantly, usually at my own expense. I laugh a lot and I do this because I love to teach in an atmosphere where people feel relaxed enough to think, and I don't like teaching in cold, nervous atmospheres. I can't function in them. I like to teach in places where people feel held accountable, where they feel like we all need to behave respectfully to ourselves and the horses, but where they don't feel frightened of making mistakes, because I don't think fear creates better learning. Curiosity does. Humor does. So when Saturday morning arrived, there I was in Northamptonshire at Naturally Light Equitation. Thank you, Andy, and thank you, Shane. And big shout out to Kat Roy Stanley, my UK host, who has been on the podcast. So if you go back a couple of episodes, we have a conversation recorded because she was actually an intern here on my farm as well. So when I went back to that clinic, Naturally Light Equitation, Saturday morning, middle of July, my hands were shaking. Not metaphorically, I was actually shaking, and it wasn't too much caffeine. That came later. I remember standing there before we began, and I was thinking, what if this doesn't land? What if everything I've been trying to build doesn't translate for the UK community, for British culture? So I did what any sensible horse trainer would do, and I shoved both hands deep into my pockets and hoped nobody noticed, or gripped a cup of coffee to steady my hands, which jury's out whether the caffeine was maybe, you know, working against that strategy. But anyway, so over the 4 days of the two clinics, something happened. Not because of me, but because of the people and the horses who came. I cannot overstate how grateful that I feel over discovering British manners in person. And I've had a lot of experience with British manners. I employ British people on my farm, have done for the last 3 years. I've lived with British people. And in the south of Spain, one of the largest communities of British nationals outside of the UK resides. And I used to live in these, like, let's say, like British ghettos in the mountains of southern Spain where everyone was British and you could just speak English, and that's how it is in the south of Spain. But I was so grateful. I cannot overstate how grateful I feel to have experienced British manners on the homeland, because when British manners, when they're warm and genuine, they are extraordinary. There is nothing like it. People were respectful, open, and also not open and all over me, up in my face. They were respectful and open and giving me space, and they were respectful of my boundaries. They were all terrified of being late, because we emphasize that. So maybe that put people on edge. So I apologize for that. I do need to augment my pre-clinic online course. I made it during a different era, after people were showing up 25 minutes late to a clinic with their horses with a Starbucks in hand. And I thought, no, we can't have that. So people were terrified about being late. Nobody was, by the way. Everyone was bang on. But more importantly, people were respectful. They were open, curious. Nobody came looking for an argument, not that I know. Nobody came to hate watch. And believe me, that happens. That really happens. Nobody came looking to try to defeat someone. People came maybe a little edgy, but wanting to learn. So after the clinic experience, each afternoon we opened the floor to questions, and every single Q&A went well over an hour. And in fact, if everyone hadn't been so polite, I think I'd still be sitting in that arena answering questions. And I kept saying to them, you're all being very polite and trying to let me go, but I promise you I've got stamina. I might have been teaching for 8 hours the last 2 days. I've got stamina to sit here, and I promise you I will answer every single question that you might have if I can. And I loved every single minute of those 4 days. It really, it was a shot in my arm of self-confidence, I have to say, because that's something I do struggle with from time to time. So another thing that I loved about these clinics with the UK community was that, and it struck me very quickly, nobody felt stuck. Even the people who said to me, I feel stuck, they weren't collapsing on top of their stuckness. They weren't collapsing into helplessness. People were saying, I'm stuck and I want to move forward. Yes, I'm stuck and help me out of it. Not I'm stuck and I'm resentful or resistant to receiving help. Now, it's okay. It's normal and natural for people to need to be stuck. It's got a purpose too. Stuckness serves a function. Collapsing serves a function of interrupting unsustainable systems. If you look in the world right now and all the collapsing we're going through, it's because we're watching the death of unsustainable systems. But at a personal level, even the folks who came with their horses who said to me, I feel a bit stuck, it was so easy for me to help them to move forward, because they were not defending themselves. Nobody was trying to prove to me how much they knew, and I don't think I was trying to prove to anyone how much I knew either. We were all of us just trying, really trying. Somewhere there's a Venn diagram overlap between the British sensibility of keep calm and carry on and the Australian mentality of have a go, try it. There's a Venn diagram overlap there, and I found a beautiful harmony with the people present. People were just really trying different ideas, trying different timings, different aids, different approaches, looking for different results, releasing at different times, augmenting their expectations of themselves and their horses, down to changing the way they sat, changing the way they used their legs. If you know, you know. That was a point I talked about a lot. And everyone was watching one another and learning from one another. And that atmosphere is so valuable and so precious and really, really fun, you know? At one point, I made a joke that I think I repeated 3 or 4 times over the weekend, and it's an old biscuit of mine that I rehash. I said, remember, we're not curing cancer. We're working with our ponies. This should be fun. Now, I realize that sentence is not politically correct, but I said it because it's true. One of my earliest clients, actually my first client ever, her name is, I will leave her name out, but my first client ever, the first person to ever say, hey, Lockie, emotional horsemanship, you and me, I want the lessons. The first person ever, and for a long time, she was the only one. She is currently fighting for her life with cancer, and for her, I have shaved all my hair off. So I know you can't see me right now, but I'm just about bald as a cue ball right now. So when I say we're not curing cancer, we're working with our ponies, and I thought about my dear friend whose business with me used to be the reason I kept my lights on. She would give almost anything to spend another ordinary afternoon with her horses right now. And that perspective matters. We care deeply about our horses, and we should. But after all the studying, after all the striving, after all the endless pursuit of becoming better horse people, this should be joyful. It should feel like a privilege. Once respect, dignity, boundaries, and curiosity are a part of who we are as horse people, learning technical skills does not become a burden. It becomes fascinating. It becomes play, even when it's quiet and thoughtful and demure and mindful, if you know, you know. It's still playful. It doesn't have to be bombastic. It doesn't have to be loud. It can be. Even when it's difficult, it can be playful. Especially when it's difficult, it should be playful. After the clinic, one of the participants, Gemma, and Gemma was the only participant who did both clinics. Gemma has worked with me online for 2 years. A full year we spent on care and horsekeeping study only. And now this year we're focusing on training. She's got a advanced rehab case, that's the only way we can say it, who was the most difficult horse at the clinic, and he remains the most difficult for her, and they are so capable with each other. Gemma, shout out. Lots of love for you. Gemma wrote something publicly on my Facebook page as a review that has stayed with me. She said, quote, I immediately felt a sense of it being okay to be where we are at. I love that sentence because I think that's where genuine learning begins. Not pretending that we're somewhere we are not and not apologizing for where we are, simply beginning where you are now. Gemma also wrote something else in her review. I didn't even need to advocate for my horse because his dignity was already being protected. And I don't know what other clinics look like these days. It's been a long time since I've been to someone else's clinic. But I want to really thank Gemma for that compliment. And I have a complex relationship to compliments. But if a horse person openly declares the sense that they left my space feeling like their horse was safer than they've been before in a clinic space, then I'm happy. I'm happy. And the wonderful Gemma also wrote something that completely stopped me in my tracks. She said, The intervals of training allowed me to see how all the elements could get sequenced together and build upon one another. And this is my healthy segue into Homecoming 4, where I am about to get to the point, Gemma said again. The intervals of training allowed me to see how all the elements could get sequenced together and build on one another. I must have read that sentence 20 times because I realized that's exactly what I'm getting ready to teach now. Not more singular exercises and not more singular techniques incessantly thinned down. We've done that. That job is done. It's necessary that we did it, but we can't do it forever. It can't become monolithic. What we're doing now is sequencing our elements into seamless wholes. Gemma wasn't talking about a clever exercise or Lockie's signature singular technique. She didn't say, I learned a new way to move my horse's shoulders. She talked about seeing how everything connected to one another. And that sentence is the bridge between everything I've taught over the last 10 to 12 years, and it's everything I want to teach next. Continuing on the Gemma quote theme, Gemma also wrote, for as little quote-unquote training that happened, the shifts have been seismic. Now, when she says training, let me put that in context. She put it in air quotes because typically training, particularly in a clinic environment, is heavy on the conditioning. Lots and lots of heavy pressure and release or whatever the reinforcement protocol is. Lots of reinforcement to get behavior from the horse. That's typically what training looks like. I'm trying to reimagine what training looks like with the minimum reinforcement we need to get the job done. So she said, for as little, quote, training that happened, so she put that in the traditional training sense, that happened, the shifts have been seismic. And I think that's because good training, for me, is not measured by how busy we are or how active we are. It's measured by what actually changes. Because sometimes less really is more. And it's good to say that, but are we doing that? Sometimes one thoughtful adjustment will change everything more than a sequence of 25 heavy dick aids to get one transition, for example. And my favorite sentence of Gemma's entire review came right at the end of her rather lengthy review, by the way. Gemma wrote, it felt like Lockie called us all to the village square so that we could find one another. And I had to stop reading for a minute because emotional horsemanship started as my project to just pay my bills and have a nice life and do good work for people and their horses. But it's become something a little bit more than that. And I'm happy to see that happen. And that's kind of what I hoped it would become, but I didn't ever expect it could. I don't want to create something only where people learn on their own how to get better with their horses. I want to help people find each other because horse people, guys, we're not meant to do this on our own. You know that, right? We're not meant to do it on our own. So when I was flying home to Spain, I was thinking about a few things, not necessarily about attendance or how many people came. I wasn't really thinking about how the clinics went because I'm used to people smiling and nodding and saying they had a good time and then getting in their car and driving home and saying other things. That happens too, and that's okay. I don't pin my experience on theirs. I just try to do good work. I kept thinking about Gemma saying that the intervals of training allowed me to see how all the elements could get sequenced together, and it became very clear to me. I don't think horse people are suffering from a lack of information, not the people I tend to meet. I think we're suffering from a lack of organization. We know hundreds of techniques, hundreds of exercises, thousands maybe. We save reels, we buy books, we go to clinics, we watch YouTube videos, we collect constant dopamine rush. but very few people ever teach us how those pieces fit together into a whole. Imagine somebody handed you every tool you needed to build a house, a hammer, a saw, a drill, a tape measure, a box of nails, then they wished you luck. You have everything, right? You have everything except the skill of how to put it all together. You don't have the blueprint. And maybe you've got a blueprint that can, like, nail some wood together, but that's it. You need more than that. And I think that's where many horse people are. We're standing in a workshop full of tools, looking around, wondering, what comes next? What do I do now with my horse? It's an existential crisis, but more importantly, it's a practical one. You halter your horse, you tack them up, you groom them, you feed them, you keep them alive, thank God, because they're hard to keep alive, right? They love to die. Horses try very hard to die, and we try very hard to keep them alive. All my horses are very coercively alive, right? So, and then we get into the training and we go, and flatline, because we've got all the skills, all the tools, but how do we put it together? What's it working towards? So this is where I'm about to get to the point, a point that I've worked for a decade to reach in a way where we are finally ready. We are responsible. We are gentle. We are equipped. We are resourced. We are knowledgeable, and we are in community. And now we're coming home to high quality training plans and sequencing. Homecoming 4.0. Homecoming is my signature group coaching experience. It runs for 3 months from September to December each year. And this is the fourth edition. And each year is totally fresh, reinvigorated focus. And this year, Homecoming 4 exists. Not so that we can learn more singular exercises, and not so that we can lose ourselves in endless theory, because I think at some point we have enough theory. This is about learning how to think like a trainer, evolving horse guardians, horse stewards, and aspirational horse people into thinking like a trainer, because horse trainers do this effortlessly. Give a horse trainer anywhere a horse, and they'll assess that horse on the fly, off the cuff, and progress and build something with them. Horse trainers can do this off the cuff, extemporaneously. Some of them write it down, often not. Often it's just a skill set of going in, and it's pure improvisation. But those of us who aren't there yet need a blueprint to get there. So Homecoming 4.0 is called Homecoming 4, Free and Forward. Getting moving with effective training plans and sequencing. This is about how to create training plans. I will give some to you, and then we're going to adapt them to you together. And how to understand progression in a session with good sequencing. How to know what today's session is building towards next week. Because training isn't about asking, what exercises should I do today? It's asking, what horse am I building? What goal am I creating? Every interaction with your horse can leave them different or the same. You could leave them more balanced or unchanged, more confident or unchanged, more capable or unchanged, more enthusiastic or unchanged. I'm not talking about making horses worse, because we've studied for years learning how to not make horses worse. Generally speaking, the people I meet are not making their horses worse. At worst, pun intended, people are stuck where they are. They're not going down, but they're not necessarily going up either. How to create intentional change with our horses, with training plans that don't annihilate the individuality out of horses, because that's the pitfall of training plans. You get a piece of paper, it says, do this, 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 and this, check these things off on a list. Okay, but what on earth does that have to do with the horse and individuals in front of us? So me and my team, my 2026 Emotional Horsemanship Professional team, myself, Michelle Knapp, Laurie Halliday, and Haley Josephs, together with our administrator, Catherine, we are going to help you adapt these training plans I've created for you so that they suit you individually. And we're going to help you implement them. But training plans about what? We have to have a training plan about something. Well, I'm going to keep it really simple, but really important. This year, the training plans will revolve around four foundational broad skills. Number one, forward. the act of moving forward. 2. Collection, the act of collecting horses. 3. Softness, the act of using less pressure effectively. And 4. Controversially, stay with me. Quickness, the act of acting quickly. In my experience, and I've gathered the data and I've traversed the world and I've looked really closely at this and dedicated my whole life at this, so far, right now, at this moment in time, these four pillars are the biggest problems people are dealing with in a training capacity. How to move forward without forcing, how to collect without contorting, how to be soft without becoming unheard of, right? The horse can't hear you. And how to be quick without dominating the horse. Because forwards is not speed. It's willingness. It's enthusiasm. It's participation. It's understanding. It's a horse saying, yeah, I'm coming with you. And collection isn't about the elite dressage world. It's just balance and strength and athletic movement. And that's relative to the individual horse. Athletic development for a 27-year-old retired horse with arthritis looks different than a horse who's 9 years old and going into their upper level gates. And we're going to help you adapt it. Helping horses carrying themselves with comfort and confidence belongs to everyone. Then we're going to look at softness, because softness isn't about demanding the horse respond to us with lighter flexions and lighter responses. It's just being a clearer communicator without being overwhelming to our horses, without being excessive. Regardless what type of reinforcement you use, softness is about not being excessive. I know that's hard because I'm lucky excessive Phillips, but anyway, when it comes to horses, I don't believe I am consistently excessive with them. I always try to match the moment. Softness is about becoming clear and improving our timing and our technique until less pressure is needed for the same understanding. And finally, the fourth pillar is quickness. It's not about rushing horses. It's about shortening the confusion, shortening the runway to take off, and lightening the load so that your horse can take action without so many cares to carry. How easy is it for you to transition into action? How easy is it? How much emotional labor is required to do simple things? At some point, we consolidate so that we don't need to work so hard to do so little. And that's what quickness is all about. It's about recovering faster, understanding sooner, and learning more confidently. So we've got forward, collection, softness, and quickness. Across 3 months, we will deliver these four semesters and spend 3 weeks on each of these subjects. 3 weeks on forward, 3 weeks on collection, 3 weeks on softness, 3 weeks on quickness. And we're going to look at these subjects through training plans and help you adapt them to fit you and then help you implement them. And me and my team, we're going to be training alongside you. So you're going to get to see our attempts at these training plans too. And we're all going to work together on working on our skills in a community of people who genuinely support each other. So again, it's not about isolated exercises. We're going to talk about sequencing. What comes first? What comes later? What are the considerations for today and then tomorrow? Because I think that's what's missing. If you've found yourself thinking, I know lots of exercises, but I don't always know what to do next, Homecoming 4, Free and Forward is for you. And we are welcoming all horse people, ridden, unridden, care-based, trained, untrained, experienced, inexperienced. Everyone is welcome. This is a totally open call. No judgment, open call, come and explore with us. If you're ready to stop collecting forever and start constructing, I would love to have you with us, because this isn't the end of Horse First. It's the next chapter, guys. Less theory, more training, more practice, better horses, better horsemanship. Thank you for listening. Oh, P.S., the price of this program is €666. You get lifetime access to it, the entire course curriculum, access to 4 high-quality professionals servicing you throughout 3 months, a independently hosted community discussion page off social media, so the entire program is social media free. You get a professional course hosting platform, so it's really straightforward to use. There's an app associated with it. You get 24/7 administrative and tech support from Catherine, and you get us helping you and standing right next to you. Some of my colleagues in the field, not to point out anyone, but some of my colleagues in the field are charging four figures, upper four figures, $3,000-$5,000 for 8 Zooms. We're giving you 54 opportunities to meet with us in person online. And this is available to anyone anywhere in the world. Our digital meetings will occur also on our own privately hosted video conferencing platform that looks just like Zoom. We've got a brand new one that we're using. It's on our own school website. All of the automations and everything there to support you to make your learning seamless and professional, we're here to help. So we believe that this is really good value, and we understand that the world is in a financial collapse, especially horse people are getting pinched. Hay prices are not going down. So I'm passionate about helping you join us at whatever level you can join us. We have financial aid available. You can apply at any time through the website, and we have payment plans available. You can apply at any time through the website. We review each of these individually, and I review each case of financial aid myself to help you join the community if that's what you really want to do. So, less theory, more training, better horses. Come and join the community. Thank you for listening. I hope to see you in Homecoming 4. And if you're listening to this in the future, go over to emotionalhorsemanship.com and you can sign up for Homecoming 4 through the online courses section of the website. Thanks for being here, guys. I really appreciate you listening. Take care now. Bye-bye.